The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, you know what, Jen? Sometimes I put stuff in my hair to get rid of some of the gray.
So attractive one day, not attractive the next.
Have you come across this?
Yes, I am familiar with this syndrome. She's a two-face.
And when I come in the next day, you can kind of notice a little bit. But by the third or fourth day, you forget, okay? Yes, there I said.
Boy, am I glad to see you.
You expecting someone else?
You never know.
You know, you might want to take the tunnel.
So, what do you feel like eating, Chinese or Italian?
I put a little hair product in. Sue me. Who cares? Own it.
Kramer, hi.
Oh, hello.
It's Gwen. We met at the coffee shop.
Uh-huh.
I'm dating your friend Jerry.
I don't know who you really are, but I've seen Jerry's girlfriend, and she's not you. You're much better looking.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he...
Want to get to Chewy's reaction from the college football playoff games that took place yesterday. But before we do that, Gabe, there is some breaking news.
Let's go ahead and get to it. Breaking news.
We have breaking news.
Three Packers have been selected to the Pro Bowl this year. And Pro Bowl games that are happening. Who do you guys think are the three Packers who have made the Pro Bowl?
What a delayed reaction you, Chew. Did you say, what?
Who are the three?
Am I
guess
reading
the three.
This correct?
Oh, he sees
reading it.
Yeah. It.
Darn it. We wanted you to
All
guess.
All right. Well, you can guess then. You can guess, Jen.
No, I saw it on Twitter also. But two of them make sense, right? Xavier McKinney makes sense.
Yeah, Xavier McKinney voted a starter for the NFC.
Josh Jacobs makes sense.
Yeah. Fourth in the league in rushing yards.
Have we fact-checked this? I don't think it's right.
Yeah, no, it's right. So apparently tied for 42nd in sacks and tied for 67th in tackles for a loss. Equal Pro Bowl season.
Chewy, you got a cough drop in your mouth or what? What's going on over there?
I'm eating turkey.
The hell are you
I think
doing?
I might throw it up.
Maybe he's eating crow.
I think
crow.
There's a good chance that it might come up.
Wait.
I'm eating turkey.
So you are telling me that the guy who never eats anything in the morning is very strict Monday through Friday about when he eats, what he eats, is not only eating at 9:06 Eastern time, but he's eating something that he has railed against for years about being the most overrated thing in turkey?
Yeah. It's healthy. It's better than a muffin.
You
or
hate turkey.
Anything. I know, but breakfast is probably the most unhealthy meal.
All right, let's not get derailed here. I want to talk about Rashawn Gary being named to the Pro Bowl.
How is he named to the Pro Bowl?
I have no idea. Like this, I am dumbfounded. This is very confusing. 6.5 sacks and 8 TFLs apparently get you the Pro Bowl. How did this happen?
Is there anyone else that would have been more deserving?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know who else like made the list.
What about McManus?
I mean, there's only one kicker.
I'd give it to Aiden Hutchinson before I gave it to Rashawn Gary.
Aiden Hutchinson still has more sacks than Rashawn Gary.
How many games did he
play?
Six.
Wow, good for him.
Oh my goodness. No, not good for him.
No, come on. I mean, he has no. It's not like he did something. It's not like he's like stuffing the ballot box. It's not like he. Is it a fan vote thing?
It's a combination of fan vote, coaches, and players to get into the Pro Bowl.
This kind of feels.
Aiden Hutchinson, by the way, only has played five games. Still has more sacks than Rashawn Gary.
Kind of feels like me being 100 on Madden. Something just ain't right.
Yeah, but like you were closer to earning that 100 on Madden than Rashawn Gary was to earning a Pro Bowl.
I don't think so. If you look at all the people,
I think you're underselling yourself.
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you look at guys that weren't 100 and I was 100,
because
there's only like a handful of 100s, this might be, it feels like a push. How did he make the Pro Bowl? The guy's terrible.
Yeah, I don't understand. I can't.
Wow. Okay.
All right, well, that's the extent of that conversation, guys. We're just going to sit here and scratch our heads and wonder. And
Elgton Jenkins, first alternate, and then Jordan Love, Kenny Clark, Keyshawn Nixon, Tucker Kraft, Josh Myers, Jair Alexander, also alternates.
So Jordan Love may play in the Pro Bowl.
He's not a first alternate.
Oh.
A couple of guys
would have
to pull out.
But there are always quarterbacks who decide not to participate in the Pro
Correct.
Bowl. And again, remember, it's the old flag football, right? Now it's the...
Yeah, they have all the different skills competitions, and then, the big thing is the flag football.
And you don't have to fly to Hawaii. It's in Orlando,
Is
right?
there something mm-hmm. to be said for Rashawn Gary's ability to set the edge this year better than he has done in previous years? Is there something that's showing up on film that isn't showing up on the stat sheet for Rashawn Gary?
To make him a Pro Bowler?
Yes.
No.
Again, come on. Like,
no.
They don't just give people Pro Bowls, do they?
They kind of do. No. I mean, players vote on name
then
recognition.
Really, this isn't that big of a mystery at all.
I mean, it still is because this is his first one. This is his first. Like, if he was a Pro Bowl player previously, like, that's happened. That's what happened with Jeff Saturday in his final year when he literally got benched by the Packers in his 1 year away from Indianapolis, played for the Packers. He was so bad he got benched. But because he was Jeff Saturday and he was so good all those years in Indianapolis, he still made the Pro Bowl that year. Like, he was a Packers Pro Bowler that year. But this one, like, I am dumbfounded.
Did Bosa make it, or did he not play enough? Because he was hurt this year.
Well, now Gabe's
going
to go ahead.
I'm trying to find the rosters.
I just can't help but wonder if there's something that people are seeing that isn't showing up on the stat sheet. Again, we just talked about how the run defense is a lot better this year than it has been in the past. You know, is Rashawn Gary doing something that is contributing to the improvement in the run defense, and that has earned him the Pro Bowl? We'll figure out a poll here. Will and I will work on a poll in the break. Before we pivot to our top 8 at 8, which comes up at 8:15, I do want to get to that targeting call, Chu. Do you want to hold on to it and talk about it after top 8 at 8?
We can do it now.
All right. So obviously yesterday at the end of the Arizona State game, there was a targeting no call. Some are saying it cost Arizona State the win. Some are saying that, not necessarily me. Arizona State putting up a hell of a fight in that game. I know a lot of people were introduced to Cam Scataboo as well, the feisty and bowling ball, wrecking ball running back that Arizona State has. But at the end of the game, I think it was like a minute left in regulation. So it wasn't the end of the game because it went to two overtimes, but the end of regulation, there was a play in the middle of the field that looked like clear targeting. If you've been watching college football, if you've seen guys who have been ejected for games and then had to sit out the first half of the following game, it was classic. It looked like classic targeting. Chu, what is your explanation for why the officials did not call that targeting in that game?
They probably didn't think it was the crown of the helmet. That can be my only guess. See, I don't know. It is hard for defensive players. Let me just tell you that. It's hard because your target changes so quickly, right? So if you're trying not to hit him in the head and it happens, it's because things happen so fast and he can't pull off. Now, you guys obviously looked. What is the crown of the helmet? Is the crown the top?
It doesn't.
Because there's a lot of face mask in it, but there is some a little above the forehead.
That used to be spearing, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like where you go with the actual top, that used to be considered spearing.
Yeah.
Any sort of targeting, Chew.
But that was more, but Jen, that was to protect the tackler.
Correct.
Not the receiver.
Correct.
Right? We're trying to protect the receiver.
I think that targeting, to be perfectly honest with you, is trying to protect both. I think it is. It's trying to protect the guy. I mean, because if you see Taft's head, it boom snaps back as well after that contact.
Yeah,
sure. But it's a defenseless receiver type of thing, and it's any sort of forcible contact made to the head or neck area to a defenseless player. That's basically what it is. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the crown of the helmet. It can be face mask to face mask. But if the guy is deemed a defenseless receiver, then it can still be targeting.
And Kenny Dillingham did plead with the officials after they made the call, his player still down on the field, and he's saying, how can that not be targeting? You know, and then did the very dramatic eye roll, which I love. I hope gets gift so I can use that in my conversations. I guess we are programmed after watching and watching and watching to think we know what these plays elicit. If it has earned a targeting call or not, if it has earned a pass interference call or not, if it is a catch or is not a catch. So we can only go on past precedent. And in this instance, guys, everything we have seen, everything that has been called targeting, looks like this, looks comparable to this. Gabe, is it possible that they looked at the time in the game and said, ooh, a minute left, close game, tie game? I don't think we can make a call like this that might dictate the outcome. And if they did, that's wrong.
But oh, 100%.
Is it possible that that's what the officials did here?
I think the problem is, I mean, they've changed it because when they had first had introduced this in college football, you had the targeting, then you had the ejection that automatically came with it. And then they would go look at it. And, well, it wasn't targeting, so the ejection's off, but the 15-yard penalty still stays. And now they've kind of gotten rid of that as well, you know. So it's, I don't know why you wouldn't side on, because typically this is what it feels most fishing crews do. You side on calling the targeting, because now that automatically triggers a replay, and then you can go look at it and determine whether or not it was targeting. That I don't know why they didn't do that, because you see that, I mean, with all sorts of plays, you know, turnover plays in the NFL, they kind of let the quarterback, you know, if it, oh, I don't know if that was a fumble or a forward pass. Oh, let's just call it a fumble, because then we know we can automatically look at it and we'll get the right call. So I don't know why they didn't, in this instance, side on the, okay, that was close enough to targeting, let's call it, and then we can go look at it and determine if it is or not.
Yeah, but should they be measuring intent?
Because that's a really hard thing
to hard.
Do.
I know it is. I know it is. But the way I look at this, it should be a 15-yard penalty, but he should not be booted from the game. Now, you can tell if someone – remember years ago, I think it was Devontae in Carolina, where the linebacker just clearly was aiming for his head,
like
took him out.
Devontae
that's
was getting
you throw
stood
out
up.
Of the game and yeah. suspend for the next game. Like, you can measure – I think you can measure intent. Like, I don't think there was intent here. It was a moving target. But yes, I would. That is a fifth. That should
okay,
be
so
a 15
that, but here's the thing, too. I want to dive into this very quickly, because when you're measuring intent, what are you basing it off of?
Yeah, that's the tough
it's
part.
Reputation, right? It's whether or not a guy has a reputation for being a quote unquote dirty player, or, you know, and Michael Taft, by all accounts, guys, does not have that reputation.
So I wonder, because the targeting comes with the automatic ejection, I wonder if that goes through the official's head of, okay, we're in the playoff. Do I want to call the targeting here? Because if Texas goes on and wins this game, now this guy has to miss the first half
starting safety
of the next game. And is this hit bad enough where
but
this guy should be?
None of those things are supposed to come into play. It's supposed to be black and white.
But
is
you're
it
a human.
Targeting?
You know what I'm saying?
I get it. I'm just saying this is why this is a hot topic in sports this morning. It ended up being a great second half of football. It ended up being a very entertaining game. I don't know if people were like, do we really want Arizona State in the next round? Do we really want Arizona State facing Ohio State? Well, we didn't know it was Ohio State at the time, but the winner of the Ohio State-Oregon game. I just think it's a bad look. It's a really bad look, because to a man, what we have been conditioned to believe, that was targeting. Wasn't it you? You've watched the video. I sent it over to you. You've seen it now a million times.
Yeah, yeah. Based upon the rule, yes, it is, but I don't think it should be. And I think you can measure intent. If a guy's leaving his feet and creating his body as a projectile and clearly aiming for the head, that's ejectable. I think in this case, there should be levels of it that I would say, okay, that's a 15-yard penalty. Look at it and say, and Gabe, I agree with you. The way the old rule was stupid. Like,
yeah.
Okay, it's clearly not targeting, but we're going to tack on the 15. You should bring that back and say, okay, it's not ejectable, but that is a 15-yard penalty.
Or you
What's
say
so hard
in
about
the playoffs,
that?
You know, again, now we're just making up rules here, but maybe you say in the playoffs, you don't get ejected for the first half of the next game. They would have kicked Taft out for the last minute of regulation. He would have missed the rest of the overtime periods, but he wouldn't miss the next first half of the playoff game if Texas advanced, which they ultimately ended up doing.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, are we in the territory of the what's a catch? Because they kind of figured that out, right?
This is always going to be more complicated to me, Chu, because of how fast this can happen, right? Like, this is going to be, but you're right, it is almost in that territory where you're not quite sure what's going on in terms of what is and what isn't.
What's the NFL rule? Is it different than college?
They just say hit to the head for a defenseless receiver. It's 15 yards. You don't get ejected.
It's
a personal foul.
Like I said, unless it's like malicious and you're leaving your feet and you're using your body as a projectile, that's tossable. I think this hit is just a 15-yard penalty.
Well, and that's the thing. They needed it to be punitive, right? When they instituted the rule, they needed it to be so punitive that it would discourage the behavior, that it would discourage this. Because there are times where guys take penalties, you know, because knocking out a receiver who is absolutely crushing you might be more valuable than the 15 yards you're willing to give up. So it needs to be something that really hits you where it hurts.
Let me ask you guys this. How do you hit him then? Go for the knees? Because every receiver would say, no, I'd rather have it up top than down below.
Well, which is why everybody wants to call Kirby Joseph dirty, because he's tackling lower and going after guys. Well, that's dirty. You can't do that. Well, if you tackle high, that's dirty. You can't do that. So you have this little strike zone. You just got it at the waist. That's all you got if you're a defender?
Yeah. That's.
By the way, I think I figured out what happened with Rashawn Gary.
You did.
Hold on.
Okay. This is important. Let's hold on to it.
Did it get a tease?
I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
Oh, crap. I thought it was going to be like a conspiracy theory. No. We wanted the X-Files music and all that stuff.
No, he's a defensive end. So a lot of, you know, teams are either, you're either an outside linebacker or a defensive end if you're a pass rusher. It's not like they just go, oh, here are the pass rushers that make it. So I think he made it in because the Packers play a 4-3, and therefore he's a defensive end. So he's listed as a defensive end for the Pro Bowl voting purposes.
Okay.
And most defensive ends are, you know, not necessarily, you know, if you're a 3-4 defensive end, chances are you're not getting in. So I think because the Packers played a 4-3 this year, that's the only reason that Rashawn Gary is getting in, because he's a defensive end instead of an outside linebacker.
Mystery solved, apparently. We got to take a break. We've got Top 8 at 8 coming up next. And before we do that, I want to tell you guys about my friends over at Accutrans. It's a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. I can't stress this enough, guys. There are times where you just don't want to drive, or you can't drive. Circumstances make it difficult. The other night, we needed Dario, my husband, to get home from the Packers game because we were leaving for vacation at a very early hour. And rather than have him wait for the rest of everybody who was leaving the football game, we sent an Accutrans car up to grab him, bring him home. He was able to sleep in the car on the way home. Just very convenient, safe, and dependable. And I encourage you guys, if you find yourself in a situation where you don't want to drive, maybe you have a holiday party in January, maybe you've got something going on where you just would rather not be behind the wheel, AccutransGroup.com is the way to go. Go to their website, AccutransGroup.com, for reliable and safe transportation that you will use again and again. Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Remember, if you want to get in with the show, you can always contact us on the Carbliss talk and text line, 800-990-3776. 800-990-3776. Liss is more. What do we got for Top 8 at 8, Gabe?
The Top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top eight answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, list of 8 things in front of me. You and Chu, Jen, guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans. 800-990-3776. The winner and the last one to get the last one on the list, I should say, gets an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. In the Packers franchise history, 8 players have had 1,550 yards or more from scrimmage in a single season. Name those eight players. So yards from scrimmage, rushing and or receiving yards.
Say it one more time.
Eight players, Packers history, you need more than 1,550 yards from scrimmage.
In a season.
Okay. In a season. In a single season.
Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones did this once, 1,558 yards. He is number seven on the list.
Whoa. I thought he'd be higher.
Amon.
Amon Green would have been on the list four times. His best season, 2,250 yards, makes him number one on the list. But he did this four times in his career.
Dorsey Levens?
Dorsey Levens did it twice. His best season being 1,805 yards makes him number two on the list.
Devante.
Devante Adams, number eight on the list. All of his receiving, zero rushing yards back in 2021, but he had 1,553 yards in that season.
I'm going to guess that the relevancy here is Josh Jacobs.
Is that a guess? Is that a question?
Just sort of putting it out there into the ether, seeing if it...
Is that a question? Is it a guess? I need something more definitive than Jacobs, maybe?
Who put a question mark in the teleprompter? Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs, number four on the list. This year, he has 1,625 yards from scrimmage.
Ugh, I'm stuck now.
Jim Taylor.
Jim Taylor, number five on the list. He had 1,580 yards from scrimmage in 1962.
Crap, I'm never going to be able to come up with another one.
So we just have two more left on the list. You guys have one Amon Green, two Dorsey Levens, don't have three. Josh Jacobs, Jim Taylor are four and five, and don't have six. And then seven and eight are Aaron Jones, Devante Adams.
I
need a guess.
I don't know. Is I don't know on the list.
All right, Chu, you got anybody?
Chu, can you run this,
No.
Don Hutson.
Don Hutson is not on the list.
Darn it.
What? They said he was so great.
Yeah, but they played like six games back then.
That's it? Did he make the Pro Bowl?
I don't even know if they had a Pro Bowl when Don Hutson played.
800-990-3776. That is the Carbless talk and text line. List is more. If you want to play top 8 at 8 today, and the category is, Gabe...
In the Packers franchise history, eight players have gone over 1,550 yards from scrimmage in a single season. We need to name them. We just have three and six left on the list.
800-990-3776. Need callers to play our top 8 at 8. Maybe this is hard.
You've heard all the names. You've heard of all the names. Honestly, I think Devante Adams was going to be the toughest one because that's
really?
All receiving.
Yeah, because it's all receiving. Yeah. And that's the Packers franchise record for receiving yards in a season. And that's what snuck him into number eight on this list.
800-990-3776. Who wants to play our top 8 at 8 contest? Just two guesses left. Should be a relatively easy one. Go ahead and reset the list with the names of the people who we have already guessed.
We have, at number one, it's Amon Green. Number two is Dorsey Levens. Don't have three. Four is Josh Jacobs. Five is Jim Taylor. Don't have six. Seven, Aaron Jones. Eight, Devante Adams.
Let's go out to the phone lines. Alex in Sherman Park is up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Probably not, but I'll try.
All right.
How about John Brockington?
John Brockington is incorrect. Finished just on the outside of it.
800-990-3776. Looking for someone to play our top 8 at 8 contest. I assume there's a lot of people out today because of the holiday. Maybe took a little Thursday, Friday vacation.
Like our guy Joshy.
Well, he took the whole week, right? You think that's what most people did? They took the whole week?
Well, handful of people, certainly.
There's
Bruce in Bayview.
Here.
You had an easy one. Why didn't you guess it before?
Because I thought Don Hutson was great.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to Bruce in Bayview. Bruce, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to go Starks.
James Starks is not on the list.
800-990-3776. Looking for Packers players to have over 1,500, right? 1,500
1,550 yards from scrimmage.
1,550. Mm-hmm. Interesting little line of demarcation you created there. 800-990-3776.
I had to get 8 on the list, so you open it up to 1,500, it's more than just the 8.
Justin in Milwaukee, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Paul Hornung?
Paul Hornung is incorrect.
That was my guy.
We are not good at
this. That's who I was going
with. That was your guess?
No, I thought Chewy had a different guy that he would have been guessing on this list.
This is
tough. I know what you're talking about, but I don't think he got there.
Let's go out to Dave in Edgerton. Dave, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
How about Edgar Bennett?
Edgar Bennett had 1,715 yards from scrimmage back in 1995. He's number 3 on the list.
All right, we just need one more.
Robert Brooks.
Robert Brooks, incorrect. He had 1,518 yards receiving. Also had 21 yards rushing that year, putting him just outside the list.
All right, thank you. 800-990-3776.
Nobody wants
just to need one more.
Nobody wants to complete
on
your list.
The list. Just
gotta
one more.
A receiver.
That's all you need.
Why a receiver?
Because there's no more backs.
You think?
Okay.
Justin in Brookfield, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I hope you were listening. A little clue there from our guys. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Eddie Lacy.
Whoa. Had 1,566 yards from scrimmage in 2014. He is number 6 on the list.
Eddie Lacy, which BTW was already a decade ago.
Yep. That feels very Rashawn. That's going to become a phrase. The dude's a Rashawn.
Well, but Eddie was actually good. Like, he had 1,500. Like, he actually had the numbers, Chew. He won Offensive Rookie of the Year because he was good.
Congratulations to Justin
fell
in
off
Brookfield.
Quickly, but he had some good years.
Who is our big winner today on top 8 at 8? Wow, that was a good list.
That was good.
Very tricky towards the end. All right, we got to take a break. We're already behind the clock here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So much more to get to. Stick around.
Palermo's Pizza is something that should be in your freezer. Stock up by finding them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. I always make sure I've got some, especially with all this football on. Kick back, watch whether it's going on with college football, professional football, meaningful games all over the place. Pizza and football just go together. And the great thing about Palermo's, with all the different brands that they have, Palermo's Urban Pie, Connie, Surfer Boy, Screamin' Sicilian, they are going to have a slice, a crust, a sauce that is going to fit whatever you are looking for. How does Palermo's do this? Well, they've been doing it for 60 years right here in the state of Wisconsin. So they know a thing or two about quality and premium frozen pizza. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Packers looking forward to taking on the Chicago Bears this weekend. Need a win. Why? Because playing the Eagles is going to be very, very difficult. Saquon resting. They've already announced he's not playing this weekend against the Giants. A rested Saquon Barkley. I don't care how good the Packers' run defense has gotten over the last year or so. Saquon's
something else.
He's a whole other creature. So, again, I still think it is a must-win situation for the Packers this weekend against the Bears. You need a little help from Dallas as well to beat the Commanders. And then you maybe move into that sixth seed, and you would move into that sixth seed and face. It is still the Rams, isn't it?
Yeah, it is it is going to be the Rams no matter what.
Hey, my bad.
You can't. Will,
no, you
buddy,
can't do that.
You can't do that.
Because Chewy's Pavlov.
Yeah, like Chewy hears that. Like, now he's gone for the next 20 minutes.
Off.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't shut his computer and throw his headset down and just walk away.
Don't listen to him, Will.
What?
Don't listen.
He's 100%
Chewy is always trying to leave.
I know.
Exactly. You guys know I went in the blimp. We talked about it before we left. I got to go, I got to fly in the Goodyear blimp. Not yesterday, but the day before. And I will tell you this. I was nervous. I took a pill.
Okay.
In Ibiza. No, it was California. I took a pill to help with any of the anxiety. I said the last thing I want to do is be the person that gets up inside the gondola of the Goodyear blimp and then is like, I got to get off this thing. Like that.
Well, because also... There's no getting off. Once you get up there, there's no...
How tight was
You're
it?
Up.
So many jokes. I
keep trying to test you. After I saw the face after the first one, I'm like, okay, what else can I do here?
I have so many jokes. This is worse than Vinny saying this morning, "So I heard you rode the blimp," and I was like, whoa, hold on, Vinny. I flew in the blimp, okay? Let's get it straight. I was nervous, so I took a pill, which helped, but then we were delayed 2.5 hours because of the... So then I took another pill.
Oh, no.
And I had a great time on the blimp. Let's just say that. I had a wonderful time. No, these are prescription anti-anxiety pills. I want to be clear on that.
So you were
How
worried
do you
about
control
the claustrophobia?
The blimp?
Yeah. Like, I mean, well, there's got to be
fans?
Like
Is it fans? I mean, is it... Yeah, I know, but what's pushing it? Fans or...
Propellers?
Yeah.
No, like, that's the answer. They? It's propellers. Yeah. It's They're on the sides.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it bigger or smaller than you thought?
The gondola was bigger than I thought because I was nervous it was going to be like tight squeeze.
Claustrophobia.
Like we hopped on one of those little like prop planes to go from Notre Dame to Columbus when we did the back-to-back game days a couple of weeks ago, not that long ago. And that was very tight. It was me and Reese Davis and our producer, and it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of us in a tiny plane. And I was like, you know, at one point all of the lights went off, and I reached over and grabbed Reese Davis's knee, and he looked at me and goes, "You okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, I'm okay."
He was, I'm freaking out.
Thank you, Will. That's exactly correct. But this was much larger. And all the windows, it's wall-to-wall windows. Mm-hmm. And the windows open because it's not a pressurized cabin.
Sure.
So you can open the windows, and they don't recommend it, but you can stick your hand out. You can stick your head out. You don't stick your phone out because, well.
Did you lose your phone?
I didn't. No, it's right here. I'm just saying some people have lost things, you know, or they have a hat on and phew, they don't realize that there's a huge wind tunnel as soon as you stick it out there. Anyway, it was great. It was a once-in-a-lifetime, invite-only experience, and I'm glad that I didn't let my anxiety and nervousness keep me from doing it.
What was the best part?
Going out over the Pacific Ocean. We saw dolphins. We saw a school of dolphins swimming and diving. That was cool. Jumping, I think. What do they call it?
Jumping out of the water. And,
yeah, jumping out of the water. They were jumping, exactly. But here's what I was going to ask you guys. So after I did my presentation on the show about the blimp activity, I heard a bunch of our guys on the set say, "I would never do that. I would never." And I don't want to out who was saying it because it was off air. But is that pretty standard? Do you think that there is like an aversion to going up in the blimp?
I don't see why they're... I mean, that's shocking because clearly everybody on that crew... John Madden's not a part of the crew, right?
Correct.
So you fly to get to wherever you're going because you guys are all over the country throughout the course of the season.
And it's not many, like, many of them are flying private as well.
Well, but still, you're going up higher in the air 100%. Than you are in the blimp.
Chewy, would you do the blimp?
Yeah, I've done hot air balloon before. That's
very similar.
Yeah.
Except I was in an enclosed cabin. Yep, there it is.
But it's amazing the control, even in a hot air balloon, that they have.
Oh, like
they have pretty good control.
Which direction they can go?
Yeah, whatever.
Have you ever skydived?
No. No, I never will.
You're kind of big.
They would have to have a bigger parachute for someone like Chu, right?
Well, there's doubles. I mean, didn't Gronk
do a
doubler?
Well, yeah, because if the first time you go up, you don't go by yourself. You have to do they call it a tandem.
Yeah.
So you're jumping with someone. So I guess that makes sense,
I will tell you this, Chu. The only thing that made me uncomfortable was as we were getting ready, you have to watch a safety video and everything. And one of the people I was going up with was like, "Are there parachutes?" And the pilot looks at me and goes, "Why would you need a parachute?" And my buddy goes, "You know, just in case." And I was like, stop! What is wrong with you? Why are you asking about parachutes in the blimp?
Well, I don't think we're far off of the Jetsons, to tell you the truth.
What do you mean?
I really don't.
Jetpacks?
Remember there we go.
No, the Jetsons. Remember the Jetsons?
Yeah.
You don't remember the Jetsons?
Yeah,
they live in
space,
His wife, Judy.
Yes. But I think it's going to be a hookup with a drone. Elroy. Everyone's going to have their own drone. And you'll just be, you know, you're controlling it and you'll have a drone. You'll be sitting in the seat of a drone. You'd be like, ah, I'm going to go shopping.
What was the daughter's name? Was the daughter Judy?
Yeah, Jane, his wife.
Jane, his wife. Yeah, as soon as, because you
dog?
See that my brain.
Astro?
Yeah.
Rastro?
The dog's name was Elroy?
No, that's the boy.
No, Astro.
Oh, that's the boy. Astro was
Astro
the dog.
Was the dog. And Rosie was the maid.
Correct. Who was a robot.
Yeah, but, yeah, Rosie was.
And that's what I thought he meant when he was saying we're not far from the Jetsons. Having robot mates.
Sure. Yeah, they lived in space, man. Like, that's a ways off.
They weren't in space.
Yeah, they were.
Wasn't it like a space needle? I thought that was attached to Earth, no?
We just thought everybody lived in Seattle?
Yeah.
It's just like Frasier. They're all living in Seattle. That's no big deal.
I believe they live in space. I believe that Gabe is correct on
that. Do they?
Yeah, but space was looking good at that time.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, like, space looked real good.
Space was great.
Pretty developed.
All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still much more to get to, and we're running out of time. So we'll take a break. Be right back after this.
Here we go.
There it is. Chewy got a little quiz
too late.
For
he's
you.
Already gone, right?
I know, he checked out. He's turned his brain off. Got a little quiz for you, Chew, as the entire 2025 Pro Bowl roster has been. Oh, my goodness, you guys. Found my driver's license in my sports bra.
Anticipating a problem?
No, it's from the airport yesterday.
And it's
I still don't think that explains anything.
So I always stick my license.
Other than the fact that you haven't changed
your
shower.
Which, obviously, I landed last night at 10:30, got home at 11 and had to do the show this morning. I went straight to bed. Chewy. Can you name the NFC roster for the Pro Bowl? Three quarterbacks. Can you name them?
Okay, Jared Goff.
Yep.
Yes. You give me a little ding when he gets it right, Will.
Jalen Hurts?
No.
Really? Did Minnesota make it?
That would be his name would be Sam Darnold.
Wow.
Sam Darnold?
What an indictment.
Sam Darnold?
Did the quarterback for the... I can barely hear the dings.
Yeah, because it's on the same. So if you want the music loud, you can have the ding loud. But if you want the music quiet, then the ding's going to be quiet.
Sam Darnold?
Yeah, so Sam Darnold is one.
Goff?
Uh-huh.
And the third... This is the third?
Yep.
That's how math works, but yes.
It's probably the rookie out of Washington.
Yes.
Jaden Daniels.
Don't need to know his name either. Moving on to the running backs. You already know Josh Jacobs made the Pro Bowl.
And Saquon.
And Saquon.
There's one more?
Yes, sir.
Bijan Robinson?
No.
Tampa Bay.
From the division.
No, Arizona, no.
Not Bijan's division. I want to make sure.
Yeah, in the Packers division. Aaron. In the NFC North.
Not Swift. Who's in Detroit?
Give it to him.
Gabe, help.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Jahmyr Gibbs. Gibbs?
Correct. Wide receivers. 1, 2, 3, 4 wide receivers for the NFC.
Brown.
Yep.
Amon Brown.
Yep. We already said yep.
That's two.
No. Just the one. Amon Ross,
Brown.
Saint Brown.
Brown.
Oh, I thought you were
saying. He was saying he was
Philadelphia
saying
Brown.
AJ Brown.
No.
AJ Brown did not make it.
He didn't make it?
He did not.
Nakua?
Nope.
In the division.
Jefferson.
There it is.
Jefferson Brown.
Then we got a Cowboys receiver and we got a Commanders receiver.
CeeDee Lamb?
CeeDee Lamb.
He's already on ice though.
So?
He's done.
Yeah. So he'll get
and then
replaced.
What division?
Jair Alexander made it as an alternate this year. What's your point?
What's the other division for the last one?
Well, it's the Commanders receiver. Do you know the Commanders receiver?
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Terry McLaurin.
Scary Terry. So good, he's scary.
Yeah. Tight end?
Two of them. You need two of them.
Ooh, this is going to be tricky.
Kittle have a good enough year?
Yes. Yep.
There's no way he knows this guy. He has no idea who this is.
Kittle. Hold on.
You don't know.
Yeah, I do.
No, you have
Give me
zero
the division.
Idea.
Division.
The NFC West.
I'm going to agree with Gabe here.
Dr. Van Nostrum, I believe his name is.
Nailed it.
Penny Packer.
Terry McBride from the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
And then the defensive
Kraft?
Ends did not.
Kraft didn't have a shot?
No, because, okay. I mean, Terry McBride's got over 1,000 receiving yards.
Nick Bosa, I mean, again, can we start getting Kraft involved in the offense here? As the It's kind of like watching Ohio State, remembering that they have Jeremiah Smith on the roster.
Yeah.
You know, can we recall that we have this guy that might be able to be a weapon in the playoff run? Nick Bosa, Micah Parsons, and Rashawn Gary, the defensive ends. Again, Gabe's conspiracy theory is that Rashawn got in as a defensive
end. If the Packers are still a 3-4, he's not getting in. I think the only reason he made it is because the Packers switched to a 4-3.
But how many sacks did Hunter have? Daniil, he's better than
Yeah, but he also now plays in the AFC.
Oh, so he can't go as Minnesota Viking?
That's correct. Yeah, because Daniil Hunter is now a member of the Houston Texans.
Anybody surprised that... Nope, never mind.
What would we be surprised about, Chad?
Well, I looked at the list and it said safeties, and it wasn't Xavier McKinney, but I know Xavier McKinney did make it. It was free safeties versus strong safeties. That's why the list was strong safeties versus free safeties. And I just hadn't...
Scrolled far enough?
Swiped over... All right, well, that was a fun little guessing game. Three Packers are members of the Pro Bowl. We just mentioned Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, and to everyone here's surprise, Rashawn Gary also making the Pro Bowl.
I'm guessing that's even a surprise to Rashawn today.
Yeah, you think?
Like, I saw on social media, like, the Ravens were posting videos of their coaching staff telling the players, like, calling them into the office. Like, if Rashawn Gary got called into the office today with LaFleur and he told him that he was a Pro Bowler, he definitely would think he's getting punked, right?
Maybe.
I would think.
Like, because even Rashawn knows that he didn't have a Pro Bowl year. Like, even Rashawn knows. Like, even Rashawn Gary was surprised to find this out today. It's not like he thought he deserved to go.
I would hope.
Will D and Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.